I want us to think about Christmas. What are your sort of thoughts about Christmas, you youngsters? Presents? Why I was asking that was because, you know, lots of people think about it and they think that they're going to get presents or hoping to get presents and they write a long list. But, you know, for some people in different parts of the world, staying alive for the next day is the biggest present they can have. Frightening, really, isn't it? That's the case when we've got so much and everything else. So, you know, I wanted us to think a little bit about giving and why they're given.
Because Jesus was the gift of this world.
Jesus was the biggest present of all, wasn't he? Yeah. And mum and dad are given to you because they love you, don't they? That's the reason that people like to give presents. Some people try to outdo each other and all the rest of it, and you see people being a bit silly about that and trying to make sure they've given the biggest present or the most expensive present or whatever. But the fact is that unless they're given in love, really, they don't mean a lot, do they? So, you know, that's where I want us to start with in thinking about presents. Because as you said, Jesus is the biggest present that we ever had. And so we need to rethink about giving presents. Jesus was given as a present to us. But it wasn't all wrapped up special, was he? I'm going to ask somebody if they'd like to read John 1:1-14 for me, please. Anybody going to be old enough to do that for me?
In the beginning, the world already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word became life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness never extinguished it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, one and only Son.
First of all, I want us to look, we've been looking at receiving gifts. Now what about sharing? You know, Jill and others have been getting shoeboxes ready and they've been going off. But many people have given, if you like, into shoeboxes for other people who haven't got very much to receive presents. And when you see the faces of youngsters that have received shoeboxes, you know, and the difference it makes to them, it's good to remember to share, because we got so much, haven't we? You know, all of us have got so much that we need to share. And okay, this year it's been difficult to share, hasn't it, in some senses, because you haven't been able to go and see people and do as much as we want to, and it looks like next year is going to be just as bad, if not worse. So we need to just share with others. Sometimes, I think Jeff used to, I don't know where he still does, give presents to his butchers of different gifts for other people in different parts of the world. And that's great. you know, and lots of people now are giving gifts to their friends who probably got all they need. And if they want something, they'd rather go out and buy what they want rather than get a present which is not really what was wanted. And so we find that, you know, people are giving presents sometimes to other people, which is a gift to somebody elsewhere. Other people haven't got anything to eat, really. You know, we get the Barnabas Fund magazine, and Jeff and Jill does as well, I expect. And in there's lots of situations where people are, they're without anything. Some little children, you know, have to work from a very early age and never be able to go to school. Now, some of you might like the idea of never going to school, but the fact is that they remain constantly in poverty, if that's the case. You know, and we need to think about sharing because we've got so much. But what we also need to remember is to share about the Lord Jesus and his love for us. You know, he came and he shared everything. He shared himself with us. And that's what we're remembering, really, at this time of year. The fact that Jesus came here on earth. And when Isla read that passage just now, it just reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Lord Jesus. And it says there, in the Word was God. Jesus was God. And he was in the very beginning. And he created everything. You know, we need to remember that he was right there from the very beginning of all creation. Unless we accept God as creator, unless we accept the Lord Jesus as being there right at the very beginning, we minimize what God has done for us. Because Jeff, a fortnight ago, talked about peace. Last week, we talked about joy. And this week, we're considering love. Our love for one another, our love in sharing with others around the globe, those who are so much worse off than ourselves. And sometimes when you see the pictures of how little people have, it's sort of frightening, really, isn't it? That there's so much in the world. I think, what was it I read the other day, that the top 2% or top 2% of the richest people in the world contribute as much carbon emissions as the least 50%. 50% of the people in the world contribute as much carbon emissions as the top two richest people in the world. Just all wrong, isn't it, really? We need to share. And Jesus came down to share because he loved us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. And yet Jesus came to us in the form of a babe. As we read the story of Christmas, we read about his birth and how miraculous it was. How God overruled in. And the thing is that, I don't know how to put it really, but if you don't accept that God is creator, it's difficult to accept the fact that he can work outside of the norm of his creation. But if you accept the fact that he is God and he can do anything, then the virgin birth isn't a problem. For so many people, the virgin birth is a problem. But it's all about God's love towards us. And that's what we need to consider. God's love towards us, because that's what this is all about at Christmas time. Jesus coming in the form of a babe, but knowing that he was going to go to that cross for you and me. This Christmas story with the Lord Jesus coming here on earth, I consider as the greatest love story ever told. You know, you hear of some wonderful love stories and how people help one another and show great love towards one another. But here we are this morning thinking about the greatest love story of all. I don't know whether you've ever thought of it like that, but that's how I look at it, because it's God's love towards us. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to send his son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross at Calvary for you and for me, because we'd sinned. He didn't have to do it unless he loved us. And he loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us with a love beyond what we can really understand. You know, I remember Neil last year talking about three or four different kinds of love. You know, and we're talking here about God's love towards us. And I'm not going into the technicalities of it, because there are obviously different scales of love and that sort of thing. But what I wanted just to think about this morning was the fact that all this that we're celebrating now is because Jesus came. And yet we see in the world around us, you know, many places where they, you know, put up like Xmas trees, you know, and all the rest of it. And they've left out Christ. It's so important, isn't it, to remember that as Christians, we need to put Christ at the center of Christmas. And if we don't, you know, it's not really very meaningful, is it? I just feel that we need to focus on the fact of what God did. God was the creator of heaven and earth. He was the creator of everything. And when he was alone with Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, "You can do everything you like except for one thing." And all he asked really was obedience. And Adam and Eve rejected that, was tempted, because Satan tempted them. And we find that as a result of that, sin came into the world. And as a result of that sin, God's love story towards us unfolded. God knew from the very beginning what was going to happen. God's an all-knowing God. He knows the end from the beginning. But he wanted us to be with him in glory. And he wanted us to do that by us drawing near to him. When we, if you like, were born, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No exceptions. You might be perfect. You know, some of you might think you're perfect. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so God provided a remedy for all of that. You know, we have some good people about, but however good you are, it won't get you to heaven. to be with Jesus and with God. You know, you can be as good as you like, but you're not good enough. We all slip up at times. I'm very conscious of that. I slip up quite often and let God down. And all of us can do that. But God loves us. This is all I really want to impart this morning, in a sense, is just how much God loves us. You know, it's so easy to say I love you and not really mean it. But God showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's why we've been learning these memory verses that we have so often, because it's just talking about God's love to us. And his scale of love is beyond anything we can imagine. And so I just want us to be conscious of how much God loved us. Amidst all the celebrations that we're enjoying, even if they're a bit limited this year, just focus on Jesus. Just focus on God and what he's done for us. It might sound a bit ordinary, a bit mundane, and yet there's nothing more precious that we can do than to rejoice in what God has done for us and to show our love back to him. When Jesus was born, the shepherds came and they rejoiced at the good news. And shepherds in those days were the lowest of the low. They were there looking after the sheep outside of Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And they were there. And they were considered the lowest of the low. But they came because God shared the good news with them. And the thing is that God shares this good news with everybody. Nobody is too bad. Nobody is too poor. Nobody is too anything else you like to think of, for God's love not to encompass them. And then we go to the kings, the wise men, whichever you prefer to think of it as. But they were wise men, and they acknowledged the birth of Jesus. And all I would wish is that we might acknowledge the birth of the Lord Jesus. It's not a myth. It was reality. And he came because he loved us. He came because he came to save us from our sins. And nobody else could do it. Only him. But he was there and he left all of heaven's glory. What did we sing last Sunday night? Thou who was rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake became us poor. That's what Jesus did. And sometimes we need to stoop down a little bit and care for others that are in need, and not just think of ourselves. Jesus wasn't thinking of himself. He was purely thinking of us when he was coming there to lie on that bed of straw. God the Father loved us so much that he wanted us to be there. You three to read 1 Corinthians 13 for me. I don't know how much of it each one of you are going to read, but because I think we need to then look at 1 Corinthians 13 and just see how we fit in. Because, if you like, this is our response to God's love. Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians 13 what love is. You know, it's so easy sometimes to define love. But when we look at that passage, we just realise just how much we fall short of it, really. And perhaps there's things we can learn from it. Now, how are you working it? You three? Who's reading first?
But now I will show you the best way of all. Suppose I speak in the languages of human beings or of an angel. If I don't have love, I'm only a loud gong or a noisy cymbal. Suppose I have the gift of prophecy. Suppose I can understand all the secret things of God and know everything about him. And suppose I have enough faith to move mountains. If I don't have love, I am nothing at all. Suppose I give everything I have to poor people. Suppose I give myself over to a difficult life so I can brag. If I don't have love, I get nothing at all. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not want what belongs to others. It does not brag. It is not proud
or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoice wherever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstances. Prophecies and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will come and useless, but love will last forever.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up my childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been known fully. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Thank you. That's what it's saying for us. Paul is describing love there to us from a human point of view. And a lot of those things are things that we wouldn't do naturally, aren't they? You know, that's the thing. We need to look at that passage quietly and read it and just see what the difference is when we belong to God. I'd like us now to come to a time of prayer. And I'd like us just to pray as we see fit for the situation around us, for our needs, and for our love for others, so that they can, if you like, share in the good things that we've got. So let's just quietly pray. Anybody who feel like praying? Lord, just thank you for your love towards us. Help us to reflect your love in our lives. Help us to have a good time this Christmas. But we pray that we might keep you in the centre and that you might have the glory for all the wonderful things that you have done for us. So, Lord, bless us and encourage us and help us to hold on to you, whatever the difficulties are in life. So guide us, Lord, and bless us and help us to share your love even this Christmas. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.